Rise and Shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com. I'm Charlie Marlowe, filling in for Tim McKernan. We've got Jimmy the Cat Hayes. We've got Doug Vaughn. And it's a fun Friday, last show of the week before a great weekend, gentlemen.
I want you
good
to,
morning.
I want you to have fun, Charlie.
I always have fun.
Yeah, but you came in a little not as upbeat as normal. So it's our job, Doug, to try to get Charlie back to being his plucky self.
Well, he's working late these days, so he's a little drowsy, I expect.
It is early, but I'm feeling good. 2 days in a row, it was much easier today than it was yesterday.
How was your show last night?
I think the show was pretty good. We have the big news with Major League Soccer.
Well, that maybe we could do some on this show about it.
You want to talk with Dave Peacock? How about that?
Yeah,
8:30?
Sure.
Executive committee member of SCSTL, they're calling it, the potential ownership group for an MLS expansion team here in St. Louis. And, of course, former co-chairman of the St. Louis NFL Stadium Task Force and former president of Anheuser-Busch. That's at 8:30. We have picks of the week at 8 o'clock with Jared from the Wheelhouse. 9 o'clock, another mini exit poll brought to you by Lakeside Roofing. And at 9:40, the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. Text of the day, 2 tickets to the Ambush home opener on Saturday. I know, Kat, you're excited about that. And email of the day, 2 tickets to Blues versus Preds on Saturday night, courtesy of generous executive Dan O'Neill. How about all of that?
Thank you, Danny.
That's a really nice prize.
I'll be there.
Those are not inexpensive tickets.
No. And the Blues are on a roll. They're on a roll.
Yeah. Well, they are.
See them last night. They
got a nice win last evening. Yeah.
Nice W.
Yeah.
Payback for Quint.
For Quint?
Yeah. That's a guy from Jaws that got eaten and bitten in half.
Well, anytime you're even on Tranquil Lake, Scotty, you hate to see that teal dorsal fin or the jowls of Jaws that ate your portion of the playoff pie. Schwartzy took a swim in troubled waters and landed a couple of trophy fish, and Percy found a lure in the tackle box and landed a lunker for the catch bucket. At the end, they had a two-man pee-pee and took shots that left some marks. But we're not going to need a bigger boat. We got a 3-2 kill of the Sharks.
Hot shots.
One of your best. I think that's one
Way
of your
to
best.
Go.
Yeah, well.
I like feel better
two-man,
now, Charlie?
Two-man pee-pee. I like that.
Right there at the end, they had it.
And they
well
were,
done.
And they were just, what are you, firing biscuits?
Firing biscuits at the basket? Sure they were. Good thing we had a pillow stacker standing on his head.
Jake Allen.
Mm-hmm.
29 of 31 saves. How about that? Schwartzy with a couple.
Through traffic. You know, that's what, Doug, you always talk about, and I never really understood it, but you got to get traffic in front. And I used to say, what is he talking
about?
Yeah,
dirty areas. Yeah. Get some traffic around the front.
Makes it hard on a goaltender to track a shot.
Right.
It all came true to me last night watching that game.
Or basically, you just get a bunch of people there and you shoot the puck and hope it bounces off someone and ricochets in. It's kind of how most goals seem to be scored.
Traffic in front is important.
Sure. Yeah. You want to listen to some Blues audio regarding this game? Or should we start with the soccer? It's up to you, veteran journalists, to show me the way.
Well, we're on the Blues right now. Why don't we just dovetail into that?
And we do have a guest coming up, so we can
that's true.
We can really dig down on the soccer topic.
All right, let's start with the note here. Let's start with the head coach, Ken Hitchcock. Clip number one, what Schwartzy is doing differently during this current hot streak.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
He's shooting the puck. He's going to the net. He's around it. He's attacking the net. He's playing in north straight lines. Every time he does it, he has success. Every time he goes east-west, he doesn't. So he's getting more and more determined to score. And the two goals he scored had great traffic, too. We could see both from the bench, and goalie couldn't see anything. You know, he just had to go down, and the first shot was perfect over his pad, but there's no way he could see it. It was too much traffic in front of him.
Traffic jam.
Traffic. That's what it's all about. Now he's attacking the net. I don't know how Hitchcock is able to come up every night with a different way to describe a certain way a guy's playing, but he does. Bless his heart.
That's why I love him, though. He tries with the media.
Yeah.
I think some coaches, some players, they really don't, but he tries his best every night and every practice and every skate to try to shoot straight with you.
Yeah. He may, if he decides to go into TV, he might be one of the greatest analysts in the history of the game because he'd be perfect. He never runs out of ways to describe situations.
When they do that little interview with him, in the second period, or I forget when it is, but it's early in the game, and he kind of foreshadows what's going to happen. He does seem to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he has his detractors, but he's been a heck of a coach for this this note squad.
This particular outfit.
It's not easy to win in the National Hockey League.
Correct. Everybody's on scholarship.
And when you don't say NHL and when you say National Hockey League, it sounds like you're a little bit more schooled in what you're talking about.
Plus, it eats an extra second.
Hey, this ain't no garage league.
That's good, too.
Clip number two, Plowsy, the old coach, Hitchy, talking about the fact that San Jose almost took this game away from the note squadron.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
We've talked for 2 days about can't let them dictate, and they dictated. And they just come out so fast and so hard. They did it in playoffs, and then they did it again, really even more than playoffs. They did it in the regular season, too, last year. They came in and swamped us early. They're trying to win early, and they almost did.
They were swimming north-south rather than east-west and attacking the net and going to the dirty areas trying to get traffic up front. It's what you have to do to win in the National Hockey League. It's not a garage league.
Perron's shot, I thought, was a shot that should have been saved. Did you watch? there was no traffic. It was.
Why don't you strap on the pillows and make some saves, big
easy
boy?
Easy for you to say. Sitting there with your Twitter.
Adjust your brain bucket.
All right, I'll try.
Maybe you would have got a waffle board on that one.
You think the Sharks would give me a shot?
They might. I think they would probably love to take shots in practice against
someone.
Yeah,
I'm done
like
with
you.
Hockey. Many, many years ago, Chase had a charity game that he asked me to play in, and I don't skate, but I gave it a shot, and it was hard for me to even do anything out there.
I played in one of those going back, geez, it must have been more than 20 years ago out in Chesterfield. And they called and said, we need some players to be on the media side against the Blues alumni. And I said, you don't want me. I can barely skate. I can just kind of
look like Hans Christian Andersen. You'd probably be good.
I can just kind of go around and not give. You don't want me. And they kept the pressure on, no, we don't have enough people. There's going to be, it's a charity thing. We really need. I said, okay. So I go out there. And the alumni guys are all, about 35. They've stopped playing about 6 months ago, and they're really taking it serious, and they're flying around. And I'm just trying to, on my little shift, just trying to survive, just trying to get in and out. And right next to me, you remember Steve Schlanger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right next to me, I mean, he's 5 feet away. He falls down and starts screaming in pain. He's got a compound fracture of his leg. And I go over there, I see him, I'm the closest one, I start skating to him to see if I can help and realize I'm about to fall on this guy who's got the cast, so I skate to the side. Schlanger had major surgery, he was walking with a cane for like a year afterwards. And I say, you know what, I don't think I need to do this.
I remember, and that's horrible, but I remember there were some accusations that you might have tripped him.
No.
I heard that as well.
I didn't have the dexterity to trip anybody. No.
Don't say dexterity.
I didn't. I wasn't a skater in my youth. I can barely stand up on ice skates. I can go in circles, but that's it.
And but if anyone looks like they should be able to skate here. And I hate it when people try to judge others by appearance. Because
sure.
If you think you know some about someone by their appearance, you're usually wrong.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Thank you, Charlie. But you look Nordic and looks like you'd be very at home on a frozen pond.
Well,
looks can be deceiving.
I played basketball in the winter. I did not play hockey at all.
On skates?
I didn't play basketball on skates, no.
That'd be a fun sport, though.
I wish I had. I think you need to learn to ice skate as a real young kid. Then it's kind of easy to pick up. If you try it as an adult, really bad things happen.
I did skate a little bit as a kid. And then when I got back out, there had been years, and I had nothing. Nothing.
Are you going to
And that also affected
me. You take your son ice skating, don't you?
What's that? I haven't yet, no.
Well, you need to do that.
Okay.
And then you're going to have to go out there and ice, and then you're going to fall and break your wrist like everybody else our age does.
We've taken him skating a couple of times, and he uses one of those
chairs.
But he hadn't gone in a, you know, he's 4 or 5 years old.
Like a walker?
No, it's like this thing you skate with where you can hold yourself up.
Yeah. Well, you better get him out there now. It'll be easy for him to learn now and hard later.
All right, Doug, sorry. Yeah. I take your parenting advice very seriously.
It's a life lesson. If you ever think you might want to ice skate or play hockey, try early. Do it early in life.
And the other thing is, I once fought Jamal Mares for a feature on Fox Sports Midwest, and I still think I got the best of him.
I'm sure.
But if I was able to skate, it was clearly an advantage for him. I think that probably impacted the scuffle, too.
Hey, David Perron with the game-winning tally on the PP. And he actually, though, also loves playing on the penalty kill, he says, clip number 5.
At the Lieber Plowsy.
Right now, my English is even worse than normally. But I enjoy the PK part. I think the best thing is it keeps your legs going, and I think it really makes you focus on all the details on the shooting lane, passing lane, and it carries over for 5-on-5 play and last-minute stuff. Me and Berge were going to go if those guys were to shoot it down, and just trying to look at where Joe was going to pass it and where Burns was trying to get those shots off, and they did a great job. Shorty, big block, and glad that in a way I didn't have to go because it's a big challenge against those guys.
Doug, your thoughts on David Perron on the PK specifically last night, how he was able to be so effective?
Well, I know he and Berge were about ready to go because he wanted to see where Joe was going to pass
but
the
puck. But he just said that.
And where Burnsy, how he was going to shoot it.
Could you add some context of what he just said?
I'm just hammering home the points that he made.
Well, they were going to be your points anyway.
Yeah, and clearly. He was happy that he didn't have to go out there because...
So, Joe, is that
big
Joe...
by Schwartzy.
Is that Joe Thornton or Pavelski?
It was one of the Joes, yeah. Boy, they were shooting the puck. Boy, they were passing and they were shooting right there at the end on the two-man PP. A passing and a shooting is exactly what they were doing.
You know, a friend of the show, Ryan Reeves, who loves this show, and he said so yesterday, he was looking to dance. No one... Honestly... I think he has totally intimidated a lot of teams. I mean, he played very well again.
He almost went, looked like on that face-off, he was trying to get the guy to go with him.
A couple times.
Yeah.
A guy that doesn't get a lot of minutes, though, you're kind of an instigator and kind of a protector. I would do that a lot more as well, because you only get about 7 to 10 minutes ice time, give or take. He played a little bit more last night, but...
Don't you? I mean, that fourth line and
love
how
it.
Active, they've been major impact, and he's made nice passes. I mean, he is, shown himself to be more than just a guy who's trying to crush somebody.
I wish he would play more because he does give a whole lot of energy to the team and the crowd. Why wouldn't you put him in front of the net and let him play role?
You might expose his lack of skill if you play him more. So I think in small doses,
would you say that to his face?
Fantastic.
Yeah, because he was on yesterday. I didn't hear you question his skill.
I definitely would not say that to
your
his
mic
face.
Was open. You could have.
I actually would say, hey, you should be on the second line.
Well, I'm not saying he needs to dipsy doodle. I'm saying he needs to plant himself in front of the net and be that David Backes guy who just kind of wrestles with the defenseman and tries to get deflections and battles
traffic,
right there.
Traffic.
Yeah, be the traffic
guy. I think Brodziak would be a great fit in that scheme as well.
Well, he's playing well, too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well said, boys.
Okay. Nobody really breaks down the National Hockey League like we break it down.
On that note,
When we break down a game, it stays broken down.
Sure. David Perron, on that note, he feels a little more comfortable with this note squadron the second time around.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
I'm really prepared a lot more than I was before. And I think just going through all those experiences, I think I always talk with my parents about those kind of things. And that's what my dad said the other day. He's like, just you can say whatever you want, but the experience is really big right now for you in that regard. And I was just trying to make an impact in the game, and I think Hitch maybe saw that, and I don't know if that's why he put me up, but I was glad to first shift we get a minus, and sometimes it's not always your fault, but I wanted to rebound and getting that goal in the power play was big for me and for the team.
David Perron, class act, maybe the nicest guy on the Blues team.
And the second time around.
Second time around, Doug.
The second time around, I'll know what to do just as long as I'm with you.
Now, what's that from?
Plaza, can you find the second time around and maybe we'll
play? But there's also a sitcom. Was it Step by Step, Plowsy, back in the day? Yeah, see, that's what I was going for, but you guys obviously are older.
Now, who was in that?
Oh, man, Patrick Duffy, right? Was the dad? Suzanne Summers was the mom, and then you had the blended family.
No,
that's Sinatra.
What are you doing? Second time around, it's like
there's 80. The
it's like Ray Parker Jr. or something.
There, that guy didn't even pull up when I typed that.
Well, pull it up again.
That's the chairman of the board there.
Cat, why are you so mean to the people behind the scenes that do all the work that makes this show really go?
I'm just caught up in a hostile environment in the country right now.
This guy.
It's the protesters that are making you angry today.
Are they still protesting?
Yes, there was one in L.A., but I don't think they get the coverage that, as they did the first few days.
What are we like? We're like 11 days out here? 12? What is it?
Something
What's
like
today?
That.
Friday? Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
The captain, yeah. Alex Petrangelo.
Oh, it's Shalimar.
That was the singer.
Let's see if this is it.
Well, it doesn't really matter.
But it's very important because the Blues won.
Well, I can't start that clip with an ad, and then he's going to go to a Petrangelo clip. You would have two clips going simultaneously.
Sure, we can't have that.
I was just trying to play all the clips because, again, you guys do a great job of cutting up this audio, Plowsy.
Hold on. Here we go.
So Cash is bringing it up on his iPhone. You can hear that really well.
I'm blessed to have an iPhone.
Here we go. Memories of Smash.
You really get the deep stereo sound when you play music like this on the radio.
Okay. I just wanted people to know what we were referencing.
Okay.
I appreciate that because as the younger generation, where I thought more of the sitcom, that's a better tune than the one I was talking about.
Is that a pretty good jam?
Absolutely. I'd like to hear more.
Well, Plowsy calls it up, we can do it proper. But I don't want to get in the way of you calling up a sound that you're not really that interested in hearing. But go ahead.
Why do you say that? This is
Look
your,
at your
show.
Look at
no,
his
see,
face,
this is your show. Why don't you run point and do whatever the hell you want? These guys cut up the audio clips, so I try to have their work not be wasted.
Charlie, I saw you smile, and that's all I wanted
And
to
Charlie,
do.
I assure you, I will not be offended if you don't get to said audio clip.
How about this? There's two Petro clips. Let's play the best one.
Can we hear more from Perron?
And then we'll pivot. Hey, we have two clips from Hitchy. Two from Perry, and two from Petro.
All right. I love Petro.
How about the fact, Plowsy, that clip number four, the team didn't panic after the Sharks' second crucial goal there.
Pull the pulley, Plowsy.
Well, it says a lot. I think our game was not where I wanted to be, obviously, the last week or so. I think we knew we had to get a hold of it. Did a good job against Buffalo there. Stuck with it there for three periods. And tonight, even when they scored that second goal, there was no panic on the bench, no panic in the room, and off we went.
There you go.
Off they went.
I thought as I watched it, there really wasn't a lot of panic in the room. And because of this lack of panic, bang, off they went.
I think you said that somewhere between the second period. So you actually said that and thought that before Petrangelo.
I was thinking right along the same lines.
Can I ask you, because you're a guy who knows, you know your pucks.
Oh, gosh.
What can happen, say, when a team gets the second goal and pulls even with with your team, the Blues?
Panic.
What can panic do to the structure?
Panic can cause bad things to any structure, which is why panic is not what you desire. And when I saw that they weren't panicking, I knew, bang, they were ready to go.
When you watch a hockey team the way you do as an insider, how can you tell that there's no panic in their game? Because it's hard. You know, you're up there in the press box. Obviously,
eating.
They have a lot of pads. You're eating the free peanuts.
Sometimes you see people on the bench crying. Sometimes you'll see some of them go into the stands and look for their parents. See if they can get a soda or something.
Are you These talking are, about the NHL or, yeah, or a yeah. garage league?
NHL. These are signs of panic.
Wait, what?
You see guys throw down their equipment. They say they don't want to play anymore. That kind of thing. Maybe a grandmother will come down there and say that a player shouldn't have to put up with the coach yelling at his grandson.
This
and,
goes
and
on in the leave. National Hockey
yes,
League?
Yes, it does. These are signs of panic. And when you see that, you know that it's not going to be a good night for that squadron.
The king of all Filipinos weighing in on the text line, saying Charlie Dana from Step by Step is fine.
I would agree. That's actually the show that I loved the most as a kid.
Remember Cody? Cody the Code Man?
Yep, Code Man. And somebody lived in the basement, right? Or in the garage, I mean.
Didn't Cody live in his van? He had a van that was always parked out there.
Great, great song, by the way. We may play it as return music today.
Would you rather live in a van or a basement?
Basement.
At least in a van, you're mobile, right?
Well, I guess basements are insulated, but the problem
with living in a van, I would guess, is that you're living in a van.
But it could be a big, more of a camper than a van. I mean, if it was a big...
No, you just said van.
But if it was one of those nice, you know, big vans, I'm not talking about a minivan, but a nice...
You're talking about a custom van.
Yeah.
Captain's chairs.
Captain's chairs and maybe a TV and a little mini stove
and a microwave.
Like we saw at Gateway, that blue one that I wanted. Oh, did I want that blue one?
Well, that's a whole different ballgame.
Well, okay. Would you rather live in that van or a basement?
And that depends. There's some basements are really nice with...
Okay, it's a half-decent
van. Well-appointed.
It's not a great basement. It's just okay. Partially unfinished.
No, I don't want to live in a partially
part, but part
I'll
of it
take
is finished.
The custom van.
Oh, it's half finished. I think the van is an easy choice because the van you're by your lonesome, you don't have anybody annoying you up above or who you're living with.
Yeah.
And you have the accessibility. I like more cozy quarters, so I don't
cozy
like,
quarters.
Yeah, so you can kind of set up your Xbox and your TV and have your hot plate
right there in the van.
Sit in a captain's chair.
You know what you need is a tiny house.
See, I think those are too small.
You like it cozy.
Yeah, those are a little too cozy.
I'd rather live in the van than that.
Me too. At least
the van, you can say, I don't like it here anymore.
And you can be mobile.
Yeah.
It's a great argument, though. Either way.
Now, some people buy these big buses and motorhomes. Those are nice. Those cost upwards of $1 million.
Yeah.
That's a whole different
animal. That's like living in a land yacht.
My aunt and uncle, they always have a really nice RV, and they always, every 5 years or so, trade it in, get a nicer one. They have kids living all over the country. I think they had a kid in Alaska at one point. They live in Michigan, always driving around to see all their grandkids, and that's kind of how they spend their retirement. That's their big purchase. They always have a really nice RV.
Yeah.
Is it a giant one? Because those things are kind of hard to drive.
It's pretty big.
A lot of them have to tow another car behind them, because when they get to where they're going... You can't take it to go to the store and pick something up. You have to unhook the car behind the bus and drive that.
That's why I get one of the smaller ones where the sides push out now, the roof expands.
A little pop-up camper.
Yeah.
So that'd be better than a basement.
Doug, on the text line, I want to pivot to another topic. A couple people want to get your hockey takes. And as I try to grab this text here,
It
kind of goes away. But the general point was, how do you feel about the Blues play along the boards?
I think they play along the boards, and by that I mean the half boards and the other boards and any other boards that they should encounter is something that they need to keep the puck moving. They need to go, what I would say, north and south rather than east and west, not just in open ice.
Hitch just said that too, but I know you had.
Well, he and I are kindred spirits. They need to, not just in the open areas or the dirty areas, but right along the boards there, they need to do things.
So just do things.
Yeah. What you don't want to do is just do nothing. You don't want to get to the boards and say, okay, you know what, you take it. I don't want to get hit from behind and get hurt. It hurts when someone smashes my face into the glass. And there are players that will say, no, I'm not going to go along the way. They just leave the puck there, and the other squadron will come and take it. This is what the Blues have not been doing, and the more stringent they get in their board play, the more that'll work for everyone.
Can I ask another hockey question to Doug since he's taken our...
No, we have a pretty strict timeline of this first hour. So, but I'll tell you what, go quick because we have a lot to get to.
All right,
Mizzou had a really close game against Xavier yesterday.
Should have
they almost won that. Doug, what's your take on pinching in? Are you pro or con?
I'm pro pinching in, and at times I'm con pinching in. Ah, yes, pinch. That's it.
Well done.
That's the way they teach it in hockey schools. They say sometimes you should pinch in, other times not so much. And then they say, go get them.
Go get them, boys. Mm-hmm. A lot of people texting in about Step by Step. The fact that the actor who played Cody the Code Man was a bit of a criminal, says Carlos Danger. I remember hearing something about that. I think it was something going on with a domestic...
Carlos Danger, isn't that Anthony Weiner?
Domestic dispute. That was the name of the texter here.
No.
We're talking about Cody the Code Man from this TV show.
Weiner was texting in.
I don't know. What is he doing these days?
He's pretty busy on that phone.
You think he's still going strong?
Probably so. Yeah, now that Huma has left him, I mean, he's free to roam now.
Do you think Huma should take him back?
What are you showing me?
You ever seen the documentary Wiener?
I have not.
I'm not kidding you. You're a political guy. You read a lot about that stuff. The documentary on Wiener is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. The best documentary. And you'll be glad you did.
Anthony Wiener, a lot of people were big fans of Anthony Wiener.
He was a rising star.
On both sides. He was a guy that did not take any ish from anyone.
No, and he was a rising star in the Democratic Party. And I was just telling someone, what I like about Anthony Wiener is, even if I didn't agree with him politically, he was totally honest. Like, he didn't hedge what he thought. And then he had to send out pics, and it all came tumbling down.
To
a
teenager.
We shouldn't really be breaking down the types of pics he's sending to these women or whoever the hell they are. But the one he sent...
No,
where,
don't even bring that so
okay,
horrific.
No, I'm going to, because it's so much worse. Okay, I get it. If you're going to send a pic, and people these days, they go in front of the mirror and they do it and whatever. But when you send a pic, you're laying there in bed. I don't know where Huma was, but you're laying in bed. You have your little, your baby next to you.
It was a baby. It was like a 7 or 8-year-old kid.
Your kid is next to you in bed, and you're laying there on full display showing that you're very excited about sending this picture. I mean, that's just really... With the kid there in bed?
Wouldn't you think that he would have at least taken 2 minutes to crop the picture so that the kid wasn't in the shot?
No, he has, I mean, serious problems. Imagine this.
Oh, I'm not making light of it. It's just...
You're a rising star, rising star, happily married. You have kids. God. And you send some pics, and then you get caught, right? And then it all starts to pull apart. And then what happens? You can't stop yourself from sending more?
So that was done after he'd already been caught?
Yes. There were more pics sent after he was caught. That tells me you got a real problem.
And it's not the issue of him taking time to crop it out. I think the issue is him doing it in front of the kid. I don't know if it's him not being, or not cropping
not
it out.
Not being a competent editor.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do.
Well, it's related.
It's both, really, Doug.
Yeah.
It's a two-pronged problem.
Don't say pronged.
This is what I was showing Doug. It's not great for radio, but this is a little Airstream camper. It's got it's all a pointed well on the inside, and it's small, Doug. You could live in there better than a basement, I think.
Perhaps, yeah. I guess I could. But I'm not faced with that choice just yet. I might be later.
Now that you're looking at you should look at the luxury trailers that some of the Hollywood stars had custom made for them. I think Simon Cowell of American Idol had one during his days. Are like $10 million, $15 million.
Oh, no.
They are, I mean, it's like a condo on wheels. It's unbelievable.
And then there's some that if you have a radio station and cutting edge where it's for the man and the woman, you put together a very fancy RV.
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
I've been in
driving around town. Have you? I never got to go.
I got to be in it one time where it's parked when we were doing the outdoor blues pregame show. And
The woman station was just something that hit me like a bolt of lightning.
And so we used the facilities in there, and it was beautiful.
Could I hear that drop like one more time?
Me too, please. 3, 2, 1.
Well, he lost it. He lost track of it. Here it is.
The woman station was just something that hit me like a bolt of lightning.
Bolt of lightning, Doug.
Yeah.
And radio's never been the same since.
Right. I don't know why no one has done this earlier.
What do you think really changed, though, after that? Like, how is your radio game different?
I don't think it changed radio. I mean, do you think it's a coincidence that Hillary ran in the wake of there being the first woman station
in
America?
She was empowered by that station. She tried to break the glass ceiling due to the influence of that station.
So you think even though she ran in 2008, the fact that, you know, this happened after that, that's what really caused her to run
again. Well, she wasn't going to give it another shot. Of course she wasn't going to, you know. And this empowered her. And then when Trump was picking who he wanted to be his campaign manager, he said, well, I got to have a woman.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he fire his first two?
Yeah, but it was already planned.
That's why I wanted the woman.
You know the third one is going to be the one that stays.
Kellyanne Conway. Sure. Another woman that was clearly influenced by the woman station. I'm surprised we even have to explain this, Chuck.
I'll tell you what. the Anthony Weiner discussion has spawned some picks on the text line, which is going to make me not read too many this morning.
Yeah, okay, I can imagine.
Just so y'all know, that's the reason.
That documentary was done by a guy who I guess was a friend of his, and he said, "Hey, I want to do this documentary." And at the time, I don't think, you know, Weiner, it was to coincide with him launching his campaign for mayor of New York, and I don't think Anthony Weiner thought it could make him look bad, and everything went bad, and this guy was there the whole time. It was unbelievable.
Timing.
It's a shame, because Weiner had a bright future.
Will he be back, you think?
No, and I don't think.
Oh, gosh.
Don't you feel like, though, nowadays, I mean, people are bouncing back from a lot of different scandals and saying things. A lot of people don't seem to really care if they believe in what you're saying politically or
how you govern. Two things. The guys that have come back. Marv Albert, where no one even brings up his past, which was a little shocking.
Don't you think, though, calling sports is a little different than people who are
leading the
country?
But then my other one is Brian Williams, who told some whoppers, and he's back handling news.
In a far reduced role.
Yeah, but back.
Yeah, well, he was so good, they couldn't deny him that. On the air, he's fantastic.
Don't you feel like, for me at least, when I see Brian Williams, I'll never look at him the same. Where
right.
Marv Albert, when I listen to him call a basketball game, I would never think of what he did with that woman in the hotel or whatever it was. But with Brian Williams, it's hard to just watch him and have any credibility.
Right. Sports is just entertainment.
Well, here's That's my thing, though. You know, you see Marv Albert come back, and he's been good. You know, he's obviously talented. He gets a second chance, makes the most of it. Brian Williams, even though I agree some people don't look at him the same, he's back, and he's making the most of it. And it just screams out for redemption, and perhaps a second look be given to Deke Dotem.
Sorry.
Hot shots.
That's not entertainment.
We do have a hot sports take on the text line, Doug. It's Tim. A different Tim. He says, "Hey, Chuck, how about the breaking news talk about the big MLS stadium getting ready to be built?" And we're going to talk with Dave Peacock at 8:30 about that. But let's get y'all's initial thoughts on this.
I think it's a natural fit for St. Louis. I think there'll be a lot of enthusiasm, not just because the events that have been here have done well in terms of attendance, but obviously St. Louis is a soccer hotbed. I just wonder, you know, if they have to get public funding. I think I read $80 million, which compared to the NFL is chump change. But I wonder if there's going to be an appetite to go ahead and approve that, because it's going to have to be put up to some sort of vote in the wake of the way the NFL has treated St. Louis. But I do think the other side of the coin is a lot of people think there should be another professional franchise here. And if we can't have the NFL, bring on the MLS.
Yeah, I'll be excited to get it. I think it'll be fun. I'm a little confused as to why they picked that site right by Union Station. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of room there. It's a road now, isn't it? It's there by where Harry's was, and just a little bit west of Union Station. That's like an overpass.
Yeah, apparently.
How do they have room for a big
stadium? Infrastructure with the ramps there will have to be moved. That's what I read.
I'm just surprised with all the places in St. Louis, even downtown St. Louis, they could have built a stadium. I'm just surprised that they would do it right there.
Well, I think they have a land option already taken care of there, the ownership group, and maybe that, you know, you can only buy up so much land. If you're not the NFL, you know, and you're...
I just wonder why they didn't use that same place that the NFL was going to use, right on the riverfront with, you know, acres and acres of nothing but burned out warehouses. You wouldn't have had to change any roads or anything. I'm sure that smarter people than me made that decision.
Maybe that made sense, though, more for NFL, where if you're going to have, I can't remember how many that stadium is supposed to seat, but if you're thinking NFL, it's at least, what, 65,000?
Yeah, and can be expanded to 28,000.
Much bigger stadium.
You could have built a smaller stadium, have parking right there with it, and cleaned up the riverfront.
No, I agree.
They're not cleaning up anything when they built this. That area's fine.
Well, we can ask that. I think that's a good question. Maybe we can ask that of Dave Peacock when he's on.
Hold that thought, Doug.
All right.
It's a good question. Because I like any stadium on a riverfront. I think it shows off the best of what we can do in St. Louis.
The stadium looks really cool. I know we've seen a lot of different graphics, and as Cat likes to call them, schematics of stadiums in the last year or so. This looks pretty awesome.
The rendition that Ben Fred, I wasn't for sure where these came from, so I don't know who to cite the
source. Came from the ownership group, and what, ROK is the firm that does all the graphics and
I thought the
video.
Stands seemed to be a little bit further away from the field as, I mean, I don't know how other soccer stadiums are, but usually soccer, when you go there in person, it's, you know, the live event, the action. I mean, it just seemed like it was really further away from the field than what it should be, than what most soccer stadiums that I've seen in the MLS. But it's just a rendition, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it was hard to tell exactly what, and plus the, just because it's a rendition being floated now, there obviously is going to be tons of changes to it.
Yeah. 20,000-seat stadium expandable to 28 doesn't seem like it's that big. I mean, when they play soccer games here, the ones they've played in the last few years, they've drawn considerably more fans than that. So maybe it'll be a tough ticket and they'll sell it out.
I think also when you're playing, what, one, maybe two soccer matches per year, it's more of that big event. Whereas,
but it also wasn't our team either.
That's what I'm saying. If you have MLS, and I don't even know what's an MLS schedule.
Oh, it's a rigorous schedule.
40 Charlie. Games, whatever it is.
They'll play teams in their league and out of their league, and they'll play home games. They'll play road games. It's all part of the schedule.
Will they play half and half, probably.
They might play some at night, and some they might switch up and play in the afternoon, especially on
34
the
games. And I think the people that say, "Oh, well, look at Busch Stadium; it's packed." One, they're international teams, and two, that's a Busch Stadium event, like you said, a big major event that's hyped up for months, week in and week out with the MLS. And what if it's not a productive team? I mean, you see what the Rams fan did. I know a little bit to do with Kroenke, but if the team doesn't win, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to get fans that to gravitate towards an MLS
team. Yeah, but what about the Portland Timbers?
And people bring that. I mean, they had instant success, though. I think they won.
What about the Seattle
or
Sounders?
Year. And if that happens in St. Louis, then
wait,
so
you,
be it.
But you actually had Timbers knowledge?
I think they won it, not
they,
in their inaugural
they might
season,
have won.
But they're... No, that...
There's a good chance they won.
The only reason I bring up the Portland Timbers is the last MLS game I saw, Portland Timbers won it. And it was a very entertaining game to watch.
They played good defense.
That's all I know.
That Timbers team, they played good defense. Rarely would they allow more than 3-4 goals in a game. And when they had a chance to bury the orb in the onion bag, that club did it.
We should come up with, like, legitimate questions now for Dave Peacock. Like, I think we start with Doug's, because that's a great question. What happened to the possibility of being on the waterfront? And my concern is, let's say this happens, and I think it will do well. I think it has the potential to do very well. Does that mean, as a St. Louisan, and if I want to take my son to the game, I have to wear a scarf?
What's wrong with that?
Oh, brother. I don't want to wear or a banner. Hold a banner.
That
up.
Was an
I'm
anti.
Do that.
That was an anti soccer take.
No,
that was a little.
We're not
that
doing that. We're not
going to
be told.
That was a jab.
What kind of banner we have to hold up?
At soccer fans.
Let me just say this: you're talking to a guy who has a rich soccer appreciation in his background. Okay, I attended several NASL games, several Cosmos games. I saw Beckenbauer play. I saw Pele. I actually went to a Tampa Bay Rowdies game. Okay, but back then.
You've got some chops.
Right. And back then, maybe that's old school. I don't remember any requirement that you had to drape a scarf around your neck.
There was none. We're trying to go all European. We're trying to do what they do. Look, I've got a banner.
Yeah,
look, I'm going to.
The Timbers' first season
was
in 2012, and they won a championship in 2015.
Yeah,
so 3 years in, they win a championship.
So when I said, well, what about the Portland Timbers? It was actually a salient point.
If I remember right,
the
Timbers won it in 12 and 15, if I'm correct.
No, they started in 2012 or 2011, but they won it in 2015. So
right.
4 years into the league,
four
they win a championship.
After they
St.
came
St. Louis
in.
Does that, there'll be buzz. But I'm saying, what, there's a couple bad years. There's not many players you can cling on to. Then what happens?
Don't say cling on.
What? Cling
on. Why are you being so negative right off the bat here, okay? We're going to have a team probably.
No, we're excited about it.
2021, be happy about it. Yeah. MLS coming to St. Louis, hot shots.
Yeah. No, we're just saying we don't want to have to wear scarves.
I'm not wearing
What's
a scarf.
What's wrong with a scarf?
I'm not wearing a scarf.
It could be nippy.
Then I'll wear a coat.
I have a scarf in the back seat of my Jeep.
A soccer
Every once
scarf?
In a while. No, it's a normal, it's just a black scarf. But if this team is called what? St. Louis Pride? What's it going to be called, Doug?
I hope it's not FC St. Louis Football Club United. I hope it's not something like that. Can it just be like this?
You want it to be the St.
Louis Dogs or something. Just something.
just the dogs.
Yes.
I agree.
Like general FC Football general Club dogs. United Real St. Louis. I don't want any of that.
Yeah, let's just get a mascot that's like the, let's call them the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs, because dogs, all
right? Right.
Like, I don't want, like, the St. Louis Frenzy. Like, I don't like that either.
No.
And I don't like the FC St. Louis.
You know it's going to be the FC. They're going to do something like that.
It's the name of the place is already SCSTL. It's a lot of letters. It's an awful lot of letters.
It's hard to say.
I know. Not Real. Real St. Louis.
Doug, will you buy a kit if they come?
I won't. I won't buy a kit.
Doug, well, how's this?
A kit is a uniform, right?
You have the
I'm
road
not
kits
go dressed in the uniform of the team.
Doug, how's this for synergy, though? You have a lot of local minority partners in this group. Then you have the money guy, the major investor, Paul Edgerly, who was the former top executive at Bain Capital, the company co-founded by Mitt Romney, who now may be the Secretary of State.
Right. He's walking in tall cotton. I know Jim Powers a little bit, the CEO of United Fan Lines. I see he's in that group.
Boy, you know some power brokers.
Oh, God, yeah. Power brokers.
Is it
yeah.
a soccer scarf or scarf? Which?
Scarf.
Scarf.
Scarf. More than one, you'd have scarves.
All right.
Right? That's the way, kind of the way the English
language works. I was asking because I just know I don't want to wear one.
Well, I don't think anyone will force you to wear
they
one.
They might. They might have guards that say,
Will they make us sing the chants and everything that some of these soccer crowds do?
I believe that we will win.
Well, I hear some of them singing in Europe and everything.
I believe that we will win.
Okay.
I believe that we will win.
Is that a soccer chant?
Don't they do that?
I think so.
Clousy? Something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know if they do it in soccer.
There's one that I heard that goes something like this. Soccer, 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 soccer.
That's not it.
We'll make up one that we can pitch to Dave Peacock as the official chant.
Okay. They've probably thought of that already. I just like to submit the name the St. Louis Dogs, not FC Real Football Club United.
What should the mascot be? What type of dog?
Just a mutt. Can't really tell what kind he is.
A malnourished just a dog.
You know what they should do with
the field?
If there is, like they call them the dogs, they could put on the Jumbotron Dogs Dogma. And they can have like someone say, "Hey, dogs fans! When our team scores a goal, hold up your banner,
start barking."
And certain section, there'll be the dog pound, you know, for your diehard.
It's like the Rams rules, but only for a soccer team.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have 4 or 5 years to think about it.
Well, let's get to it now.
Here's the thing.
Hey, dog fans!
They're making fun of scarves, but if there's a media day and they give away free scarves, you're going to take one. And
well,
so will
it's
I.
Free, yeah. The only sell it on the secondary market.
Let me tell you, the only time I take the giveaway stuff, and I used to never, because it will clutter your house with all this stuff that you really aren't going to wear. But if your kid wants it, and then the other thing is, too, when neighbors ask you for free tickets to a weekend Cubs series that's sold out, you can give them a camo pullover that you got as the free giveaway
thing.
Yeah,
don't have tickets, but here, take this thing. Trying to clean out the closet.
I call it neighborhood currency.
That's nice.
Well, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be fun. Another thing on the sports calendar, Doug, we need that. Don't you think?
More sports calendar stuff. Sure, we do.
Even though yesterday.
Yesterday was a busy, busy day. We had one of those four or five lead stories.
Where after the sports cast, you say to the anchors as you toss back, it's a busy day in the sports office. Oh. Everybody's playing.
Yeah, that's a nice little piece of chit-chat there at the end.
But what you did yesterday, besides just covering SLU playing in Mizzou and the Blues and this big news with the soccer, you also made a nice little video with the Bulldog, with the mayor.
Oh, Bulldog Drummond.
Bulldog Drummond.
Yeah.
Should we play that clip?
That was something that they were doing for some charity, some kids' charity.
I think we should
listen
to
it. Not
yeah,
on the air.
It's one of those things.
It's not meant to go on the air.
Well, it's meant to go on TV.
Well, not really on the air TV. It's just meant for like a thing for a charity that we've got, a kids charity with different things on a video board there at the charity.
All right. Well, either way, I think it's funny. So it's Doug and the Bulldog Mayor, Mo Drummond, talking about hot cocoa.
Maurice, Doug here with you. We want to show you our favorite ways of making hot chocolate.
And you want to go with the milk instead of the water. You don't want to just have water and the mixture. I think it's so much better if you have the milk and the mixture to make your hot chocolate. Or sometimes I call it cocoa.
Cocoa.
When I'm feeling sassy, I might call it cocoa.
A little sassy.
That's right.
You know, I don't like the milk. I actually rather, right? Yeah, I'd rather go with the mix, with the water. Uh-huh. That way it's quick. You know, I get it into my cup quickly, and then I get maybe a good handful of these marshmallows, right. Stuff them in the big cup. And I'm in good shape.
I go just a few marshmallows. One, maybe two. I don't like a lot of marshmallows. Long. You don't want to destroy the taste of the cocoa proper.
There's no destroying the taste. You stuff them in there. You have a big old cup, and then it's fine.
Okay.
No.
Another important thing I feel is the heat. It should be heated just so. You don't want it not hot enough, or it just kind of tastes like bad hot water mix or bad hot chocolate. You want to get that piping hot. I've got some right here that I think it should be.
Get a little. Wave that thing back. That was a little bit too.
I just tasted molten magma.
From
the very center of the earth.
That was a little too hot. A little bit too hot.
Well done, Doug.
Yeah.
So you guys were making a cup of instant cocoa.
Yeah.
And your hot. Video was.
Me doing
seven minutes discussing that you're going to put water in the mix.
$1.25.
I didn't suggest that it be played back here.
What was the? And it was for what? For a charitable endeavor?
Little thing where kids are going to. I did the old Danny Thomas spit take. You know,
how many takes? How many takes was it?
Just one.
So it wasn't really hot.
Well, it might have been kind of warm. Like a
well, tepid. You know, you can't say it might have been. You're the only one that knows.
Yeah. Why don't we check with the guy who did the spit take?
Yeah, it's too hot.
I'll tell you what, though. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it was fabulous stuff.
It shows that that the sports guys behind the desk are people, too.
It does. It kind of humanizes them.
Yeah.
Now, because you were thinking they were so much bigger and better than everyone else.
Yeah. I will say, at the 2 Fox, we don't have time for the silliness. We're too busy.
We do journalism as well. This was overtime.
It's a little different.
This was overtime, Charlie.
Clearly, you focused much of your attention on the spit take.
On the kids.
Wow.
This was about the kid. Did you hear
Fox
me say
two,
charity? Did you hear the
Fox 2, we were hitting the streets, hitting our sources, and kind of seeing what's up with the local clubs.
So what you're saying is, while they were doing a video on how to make instant cocoa, you broke the MLS story.
I think everybody claimed they broke the MLS story, although everybody knew about it beforehand, yet was holding it until the information came out from the powers.
Who broke the embargo, Charlie?
No, all I'm saying is, through print and television, I saw, I think, three people say they broke the story, but like everybody knew the story
yesterday
beforehand. They knew it was going to be released at some time yesterday.
It wasn't like this was a well-kept secret. They were going to have a news conference, and everyone knew the run-up to the news conference that this was going to be announced.
Obviously, when you have a press release and all that goes in and all the investors and you have the beautiful graphics and video, that's all ready to go and roll out. So the media knew this was coming.
Do you feel, and we can say this because we don't have print people here, but I always felt like when I was doing news, like whatever the news source was, whatever the thing was, there was going to have a news conference, they would always let the print guys break it first. You ever notice that? That's why I became a right holder, because I was so angry about that.
Yeah, they do let the print guys break it first. It's like the news hasn't really been delivered to the public until it's in the newspaper. If it's just said on the radio or TV, we're not sure about it. If it's in the newspaper, it must be true.
Because you could hold that. You could hold that up and you go, look. It's here.
Yeah.
Like Dewey defeats Truman.
Well, you could say, hey, Doug Vaughn broke our story in the newscast. Did you see it? I didn't see it. Well, it's in the paper. You
right,
see
there
the
it
paper
is.
You
yeah,
could hold
it
up. It's tangible.
I would certainly agree with that more so back in the day. But I think now almost every story is broken on Twitter. So it doesn't matter if you're TV, radio, or some guy in the street that just sees some information. Anybody can break that story now. But I do think some power players, whether it's an executive, front office, coach, everybody has their own media people that they like to break stories through. And sometimes the reporter just gets the information first.
A lot of times they come right through the Channel 4 sports desk. But if I'm not there, you know, maybe I'm doing something for the kids, we may not get the story first.
So how often are you giving back to these kids?
Oh, on a daily basis, Chuck.
So what else have you done besides the cocoa?
Charity doesn't just stop and start when it's inconvenient.
So can I have a couple other examples of what you've done for the kids besides this
cocoa
take? Well,
there was a spit take with the cocoa.
Besides that?
Well, some of the others I would like to keep confidential because they haven't come out, and I don't like to brag too much about myself.
So how did spitting out the cocoa, though, tangibly help these kids.
It helped the children is what it did.
It called attention to the fact that there are some children in America, as awful as it sounds, that don't have access to hot cocoa.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what it did.
Well said. Hey, we have the Listener Rewards program here. KFNS and InsideSTL.com. Listener Rewards. Support the sponsors and save. This week, save even more as prices have dropped on ongoing deals. Get a $50 gift certificate to Cha Cha Chow and Gaslight Lounge for just $15. Enjoy $50 to Wildwood Pub, Rich and Charlie's Pizza, or Bishop's Post now for just $20. And soccer fans, don't forget the Ambush 5-ticket flex packs, Doug. They're still on sale for 50% off. You choose 5 tickets to one game, 1 ticket to 5 games, just $55. Log on and save at InsideSTL.com and click Listener Rewards. Kind of like, okay, here is your reward.
Here's your reward. That's probably how we should start that segment, that commercial.
I'm going to rewrite the copy.
Okay.
Doug, we have the picks of the week coming up at 8.
Oh, I did a lot of research, Charlie.
Yeah, Dave Peacock at 8:30. 9 o'clock, a mini exit poll brought to you by Lakeside Roofing. And 9:40, Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. A big show on this Friday. As Doug yawns.
Yeah, that's right. I was getting excited about the show and the presentation and thinking back on what we've done so far and how we've broken things down.
What's your favorite part so far?
I guess the sound bites that Plowsy ran, because it showed that our reporters were boots on the ground covering things. I'm sure that was one of our guys with the mic in there.
By the way, that that audio, courtesy of Fox Sports Midwest.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
It wasn't us, but it was... It was Kat's outfit.
No, I do get a little chapped about that, because I think a lot of radio stations just look at Fox Midwest as an audio service. So,
and
thank you for crediting,
Charlie,
the
if
source.
You want to look up top there, right next to the Blues, it does say Fox Sports Midwest.
Yeah. I just said that.
Okay.
Some TV stations even boost our sound.
It's not boosting.
No, but just courtesy it.
I courtesy everything we play.
What about the two Fox? Doug said sometimes you just steal his sound bites off his sportscast and run them as yours.
That's never happened.
It's even got the Channel 4 Super right on there.
First of all, don't use a jargony term like super that nobody else gets unless you're in the business.
Okay. The Channel 4 graphic?
Sure.
On there.
Lord, what about CG?
Right. Chiron?
Yeah, we don't need to call it a Chiron.
I feel like, though, Fox, because we're Fox 2, you're Fox Sports Midwest, used to be owned by the same company. Although people don't know that anymore, I still think from a branding standpoint, people think there's a little bit of a marriage there. You know what I'm saying?
Plus,
in the same way, CBS, even though you don't really have that much affiliation with CBS Sportsnet or CBS College Sports, people kind of think there's a relationship there.
Well, there is a relationship between us and CBS.
I know, but...
I mean, we provide them stuff almost on a daily basis.
But you're not owned by CBS anymore.
No.
That's what I'm saying. And we're not owned by... Fox.
No, uh-uh.
But still, we look at you guys as sisters, so you can have whatever you want, but we do appreciate it when you courtesy the bit.
Why are we sisters? Why can't we be brothers?
Well, because you're like the little sister.
I don't like when people say sister station.
I don't either.
Why isn't it brother station?
Because you're kind of like a muddling little local affiliate, you know.
We can do it. Just like running up the little engine that could. That's how you see Fox, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well... That's not the situation Channel 4's in, a juggernaut of an outfit.
Yeah, making those hot cocoa takes.
Yeah. For the kids.
For the kids, of course.
Right.
So many kids benefited from that. Hey, we'll take a break. We have Picks of the Week coming up on the other side, and also Dave Peacock will join us around 8:30 talking soccer and this new stadium that should be built, 2020, 2021, we're thinking, ready to go, hopefully, if everything goes as planned. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS. No, it's 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2C. Doug, you look at the mic flag right here. Also, InsideSTL.com.